Okay, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And let's begin in verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We've come now to the seventh beatitude. We find it in verse 9, telling us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. When you begin to discuss the topic of peace, there's no way that you could exhaust the subject. We could probably have 100 messages or so on the subject of peace, or on this particular verse in particular, probably. But we're going to condense it into something very brief, or one lesson today, just for the sake of moving on to the next beatitude next week. The Lord calls us in this verse to be peacemakers. The question is, what does that mean? How does that apply to you and I? First of all, it just goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. We have to be, if we're going to be peacemakers, we have to be at peace with God. Ironically, I preached about that two Sundays ago. It seems to be a reoccurring theme here about having peace with God. But if we're lost, we're not born again, then our sins are not forgiven, and if our sins are not forgiven, then they have us separated from God. That means that we are considered enemies of God. We're not made right. We're not at peace with God. But the moment that we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and call upon Him to save us, then those sins are taken away, and we're immediately placed, made at peace with God. As Romans chapter 5 verse 10 tells us, we're reconciled to God by the death of His Son, okay? And so the way to peace with God is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of peace in our life. But then there's another element of peace with God that I want us to talk about for a moment. And that is everyday practical peace with God. And what I mean by that is living in such a way that we're honoring God, we're pleasing God, that we are maintaining strong fellowship with God, and in an everyday, very practical way. Children of God, we can strain our relationship with God. I've had just as we talked to Gracie in the office just a few moments ago, explained to her about that. When you and I are saved, we're saved forever, okay? Nothing's going to change that. But what happens when we sin? Well, are we we're lost again? No. Those sins are forgiven, past, present, or future, but we strain our relationship. It's just like He's our Father, and we've done wrong. We're out of line with His will, and it's kind of like when we're at home with our own parents and we do wrong, we're out of line with Mom and Dad's will, then there's going to be that strain. We're going to be kind of in trouble, so to speak. God has to correct us, if you will. And so that's in order to have everyday peace, running peace with God, in a practical sense, is for you and I to live in a way that's pleased with Him, that we're not offending Him or violating His righteousness in any way. It has nothing to do with our salvation. Salvation is already nailed down. But it's our fellowship with God that's at stake. The more godly we live, the sweeter our fellowship with the Father is, the more peace we're going to have, a stilled heart, a heart that is not restless over having done wrong. These are things that we can achieve and enjoy in our life just simply by walking closer with the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 and verse 1 and 2, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I forgot to put that scripture down here. But he says, the Lord's hand is not slack, that he cannot, Lord's hand is not slack, and neither is the Lord's ear heavy that he cannot hear your prayers, but your sins have separated between you and your God. You see what he's saying there? Isaiah's saying it's not that God's gone anywhere. It's the fact that you're living in such a way that you've God's still able to hear. He just don't want to hear you because you're not acting right. And that's what we're talking about. We're dealing with keeping the lines of communication with God open by just simply doing right and maintaining everyday peace in our life. And so that in itself is peacemaking. When we're right with God through salvation and we're living right, having everyday peace with God, we're being peacemakers. Then there's another area of peacemaking that happens when we begin to lead others to having peace with God. You and I should care enough about people to want to see them be at peace with God, to want to see people be saved. We should care enough to want people, we've been cleansed of our sins, we should care enough to want to see other people cleansed of their sins. We should want to share that with others. And too often, folks, I think, certainly I've been guilty of it, we tend to, as believers, to only have a great concern for those that are closest to us, our loved ones. We're concerned about that brother of ours or that cousin or our best friend being saved. But you know, the reality of it is that's not a true burden for the lost. A true burden for the lost is conscientious of all people around us that are lost. We want to see people saved that we don't even know. We want to see the world come to Christ, and that's a true burden for the lost. But we tend to kind of just worry about those in our own little circle. Think about the Pharisees. They were probably the furthest thing from being peacemakers, and they were the so-called religious, the so-called spiritual of the time. But the reality of it is they were smug. They were prideful, far from wanting everybody around them to come to know God. They spent most of their time not peacemaking, but picking fights with those that they disagreed with. They spent their time with anybody that did not think like them, anybody that didn't vote along their party lines. They saw as an enemy, somebody that, hey, is to be stayed away from. Is that Christian? Is that peacemaking? No. I don't care who people are or how much we disagree with them. We should have a heart that we want to see them come to Christ. In fact, the Pharisees not only had no interest in those around them at all, that didn't agree with them, but they detested those around them that didn't agree with them. And that's just a sad example of having spiritual blindness, being very opinionated about how out of line someone else is, when in reality we have a calloused heart ourselves if we're not concerned about their soul. And really, friends, it's easy for you and I to fall into that inadvertently, to see what the Pharisees are doing, but then in a way, in some cases in our own life, we're doing the same thing. It's okay to recognize the differences that we have with other people. It's okay even to see that somebody's wrong, that their thinking is not in line with God's word, and it's just we're just discerning that they're wrong about what they're thinking. But it's not all right to dislike that person in such a way, or to write that person off in such a way that we're not concerned for their soul. That's not okay. That's exactly why where we are in our country today, the divisiveness that we have in our country, and I'm not going into politics, I'm not talking about one side of the aisle or the other, but the divisiveness, it takes two sides to be divided, and a divided country is that, and we can't get anything accomplished, we can't move forward in any direction, because nobody will even begin to try to get along. And so one party thinks the other party's wrong, and then that trickles down to the citizens. And folks, I'm sick of it, to be honest with you. I don't have to like homosexual lifestyle. I don't have to like the way somebody on the other party, of the other party, how they vote, but I do have to like people. I do have to love people. And that, by God's standard, I don't have to like the legislation that a particular president or senator or congressman or other politician promotes or endorses. I don't have to like that, but I have to like them, and I mean in the sense of praying for them and wanting their soul. The Bible tells us to pray for those people. I'm telling you, we're getting guilty of this, of acquiring such a hatred for people that we don't even know. We don't know them personally. And we get such a disdain and a hatred for them because of the way they think. That's not what God would have you and I do. We are required to love people, and we're required to pray for people, and we are required to be peacemakers. And so it really, we should do everything that we can and everything within the realm of possibility to see that other people come to know Christ, even if they vote differently than you. And that's just a fact, folks. That might not get me a safe exit out of here today, but it's the facts. And so the next area of peacemaking is this, keeping peace among people. Now, this is kind of a no-brainer, but we need to talk about it. You and I should never take any step that we think will create discord amongst those around us. And that means as far as repeating information. We should never say anything or pass on any kind of information that we think perhaps might create discord outside of, obviously, it needs to be said to protect somebody or somebody's safety. But the Bible says where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And so often we have the opportunity. It's placed in our path to be able to stop the perpetuation of talk or negative information. And oftentimes we don't do it. It's within our power to do it, but we don't. And when we repeat information unnecessarily, it's just like laying a log on the fire. That fire is not going to go out. We just added to it. And so the information goes on down the line. A true peacemaker, folks, and think about this. We need to all consider this. A true peacemaker will stop bad talk, slander, negative talk, passing information, gossip. If you or I hear something negative about someone, it's been brought to our attention or something, and we go to that person and tell them, we're just as guilty as the person that initiated the slander. We really are. And first of all, it's going to hurt the person we tell. They could have gone without knowing it and not been hurt. But when we tell them, well, often we do it out of friendship, or I just think you ought to know, or whatever, we've allowed our friend, our so-called friend, to hurt over something unnecessarily. They didn't have to know that information. They just didn't have to know it. It wasn't advantageous. And then secondly, but beyond creating heartache and pain for the person we care about, there's no benefit to be made of it. There's nothing to be gained. It just simply speaks of our immaturity or lack of spirituality, because we obviously must have done it. We got some sort of satisfaction or enjoyment out of having done so, or we wouldn't have done it. We don't like to think along those lines, but why would we do it? Peacemakers with big hearts stop the talk. We stop it. We won't let it go further. We won't let it pass. It may come to our desk, but we don't pass it on from there. And we should do everything we can to minimize the pain of everybody concerned. And we do that by throwing water on the fire, not by adding another piece of wood. Let me throw out this other point, and I'm not even going to charge you for this one. It wasn't part of the deal when y'all came in, but I'm going to give it to you free anyway, okay? This is your night, okay? If a person confides in us, now, folks, I take this very seriously in my life. If a person confides in us something, sometimes for counsel, sometimes they're up to no good, they're gossiping, but sometimes they just need somebody to talk to. And if they tell us something in confidence and we tell them we're not going to say anything, and we go say anything, we go say something, We pass that information. You know how much a violation of, you know how that speaks of lack of integrity? I've had more than once, and I'm not saying I've never failed at this. I'm sure I have. But if somebody tells me, Brother Chris, I don't want you to discuss this with anyone, that's the way it is. That means not my wife, not, well, Brother David, it'll be all right to tell him, or maybe I call Frank. No, if I told somebody, I'm not saying anything, I'm not saying anything, folks. And that's just the way it is. And that really is the kind of integrity that we ought to have. That's the heart that God wants us to have. That's a huge indicator of our growth in the Lord when we can keep our mouth closed. And here's by saying, well, the person I'm telling is not going to tell anybody. So we tell them, say, no, but you got to promise not to tell anybody. That's not a get-out-of-jail-free card, folks. That doesn't make it all right. You just, by telling that person what you weren't supposed to tell them, you're in the wrong as well, okay? Let's move on. What's the result of this beatitude, okay? And I hope you guys don't think I'm being too harsh, but this is really the truth of God's Word. We ought to be peacemakers, and when we are peacemakers, notice verse 9, it says, for they shall be called the children of God. What does that mean? Our peacemaking character will identify us as children of God. We'll say, this is truly a Christian. We downers have some pretty dominant traits in our family that are passed on from generation to generation. Many of your families do as well. Maybe it's this big nose here, or the dark hair, or the big ears, whatever. We have a tendency to pass a lot of that on, so much so, and again, you probably have some in your family that people say sometimes, well, there's no denying who they belong to, right? You've heard it. Or man, you look just like your dad, right? Well, we have a spiritual heritage that so far surpasses our human heritage in importance. It's light years more important. We are children of God. We're joint heirs with Christ, the Scripture says. And our lives should reflect it. There's nothing that resembles the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that resembles the big heart of our Father like being a peacemaker. Just being a person that does not want conflict, does not contribute to conflict, and tries everything they can to keep peace in this world and in the lives of others. And folks, I'm telling you, if we say we're Christians, but we're quarrelsome, we're divisive, we're hateful and mean, then the world, rather than say, hey, he's a child of God, as our text says here, they have a hard time reconciling those inconsistencies. He says he's a Christian, but he's always fussing with people. Or she says she's a Christian, but she's always gossiping. Whatever. See, it's hard for them to reconcile. But when you and I are peacemakers, when we truly are peacemakers, and we say, hey, would you come to Bible Baptist Church? And in essence, that's saying, I'm a Christian, I serve the Lord in this church. Then they're like, yeah, he is. He's a real deal. Or she's a real deal. You see, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. People will know you're a child of God when you're a peacemaker. Appreciate you guys very much. Hope I didn't make any of you mad, but if I did, just tell God. Don't tell me, tell God.